You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Hi, I'm Doug Jones, but you are listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast.
All it takes is faith and trust. Oh, and something I forgot. Dust. Just a little bit of pixie dust.
I only hope that we never lose sight of one thing, that it was all started by a mouse.
To live. To live will be an awfully big adventure.
Some imagination, huh?
Good day, mate. I'm Mary Kate.
And I'm Ashley.
Samantha?
I don't even know it's Samantha.
Danny! Danny, boy, where are you?
Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here, and welcome to Muppet Vision 3D.
I may be dead, but I'm still pretty.
Come on, Gar. We're here. Happiest place on Earth.
Shall we begin?
Welcome, Pixie Dusters. We're your favorite hosts. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Ashley. Welcome to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dawn.
Good morning.
And of course, we are produced by Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Yes. Make sure you check out our socials after the show. TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook.
See. And also check out our website, www.limitlessbroadcastingnetwork.com, where you can sign up for a membership. Yay! Because there's all bunch of fun things you can do other than Pixie Dust Twins. I mean, we're the best, but there's other things you can do as well.
Yeah.
I mean, obvious. We're Disney. We're the best.
If you feel like killing some time, some extra time, you know, whatever. But the main purpose for going there would be us. 100%,
yes. Mm-hmm. Obviously. You can also check out the Boogeyman one. They have some crossover with us, kind of like Angel and Buffy.
True.
Yeah, there's some good crossover there.
That's fair. Yeah.
Oh, goodness. All right. So we are in week two of Angel. I don't know what week we are of our Joss Whedon. Is this seven, eight, nine? I think nine.
We're up there.
If I do my math correct. I'm going to tell you right now, I was lazy. I started a new job this week. I haven't had much time to do much. So I went to ChatGPT and just asked it questions and it gave me things. And it was actually pretty accurate. So I'm like, okay,
nice.
What we're doing today. It might be what I use from here on out because
see?
It's like
AI
formats it beautifully.
Something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is my thing with AI. As long as I'm using it for something I already know about, I already know the content. I'm just lazy. When I'm lazy or don't have time to put something together, I will go there now.
I think there's a line between laziness and just having other things going on in your life. Because I'm in the same way.
That's also true.
I'm not 18 anymore. Yeah. I don't have the stamina to binge watch a TV show 24 hours a day.
Yeah. Well, and with my new job, I can't binge watch anymore. Like my old job, I was at home. I literally would watch the seasons here. I can't do that at my new job.
Exactly.
I can barely have my phone out at my new job. So Ashley had to do recaps again. But the good thing is I have watched season 2 and 3 before. I know what's happening. These were like the seasons I actually remembered. So we're good.
For me, it was more of a refresher because I've been through the whole series maybe 2 or 3 times. So I was like, okay, this is when this happened. This is when this happened. So
I will have to, and my plan is sometime today and tomorrow to like really dive into season 4 because really all I'm doing is like
season two we get the famous Numfar doing the dance of joy.
I remembered your trivia.
It's the only important thing really.
Okay. All right. Well, let's dive into season 2. The summary chat gave me was Angel deepens his mission to help the helpless while battling new threats in Los Angeles. He faces the manipulative law firm Wolfram and Hart, a powerful demon named Darla, his resurrected sire, and her partner Drusilla. As Angel becomes increasingly obsessed with stopping them, he alienates his team and temporarily breaks ties. Meanwhile, the team continues helping people on their own, and a new ally, Lorne, the empath demon, joins the group. The season ends with the team traveling to a hell dimension called Pylea.
Pylea.
I don't remember.
Pylea.
Yeah. To rescue Cordelia. Did I say Lorne's name right? Lorne?
Lorne.
Yeah. Okay. All right. You know me in names. It's bad. And with a whole new office of people I got to learn names for, I apologize to them right away. Of course, our main cast, we still have David as Angel, Charisma as Cordelia, Alexis as Wesley Wyndham Price, and J. August Richards as Charles Gunn. Some reoccurring cast this season is Andy Hallett as Lorne, or is known as the host. Julie, of course, as Darla. Sam Anderson as Holland Manners. He is a lawyer from Wolfram and Hart. Stephanie Romanoff. Thank you. As Lila, another attorney. Christian Kane as Lindsay. Of course, another attorney who has a complicated relationship with Angel.
Mm-hmm. Complicated character, and then too.
He is, yes. Lindsay is a complicated
character. Very interesting character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Vincent Kerfizer as Skip. He's only that is briefly not, introduced.
No, is it? That is not the actor. No.
No.
Chat GPT, no. No.
Who's the actor?
That's not his name.
Hold on. We need to fix something in chat from chat. They were doing so well.
Yeah. I know. And then I was like, hold on. Because I didn't realize it even said a skip. And I was just like, he's not in this season.
No.
Wait, when did he come? Was it season
well,
three?
Well, he was brief. It Next says season. He's briefly introduced.
No.
Not
he's
even?
Surely not in this. Okay. I mean, no.
Well, bad GPT.
Rude.
Very what? Rude. Where's the actor?
David Denman. David is the actor who's Denman. Skip.
Okay. Well, see, this is why you shouldn't believe in ChatGPT for everything.
Okay. And yes, well, he's from The Office, Dan.
That's how, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We're just going to.
I don't really watch The Office. I just remember seeing, like, oh, yeah, he played Pam's, like, first, like, ex or whatever.
Yeah.
Yep.
Correct.
All right. There we go. We deleted.
He's just gone now.
He's just gone. And then Amy Acker as Winifred Fred Brickle. She is introduced in the final arc, becoming a main character next season. Mm-hmm. So big bads. We could add a couple. They're still the same ones, but we added a couple. And they gave me a little bit more types of big bad. We got our personal threat of Darla and Drusilla, which, yeah. We got the systematic threat, who's throughout the whole series, which is Wolfram and Hart. And then Angel's inner darkness is the thematic threat. I'm like, okay, ChatGPT. Give me some pretty intense ones there.
That's great.
Oh, goodness.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Dang it. I got a gnat flying around me. So if you see me randomly hit something, that's what it is. Okay, anyways, first episode for this season was released September 26, 2000. It was called Judgment. In misinterpreting one of Cordelia's visions, Angel tries to help a pregnant woman and accidentally kills her demon protector. Angel tries to fulfill the dead warrior's mission and escort her to a tribunal to protect the woman's unborn baby. When the woman runs off, a desperate Angel visits a demon karaoke bar named Caritas.
Caritas? Isn't it Caritas?
Caritas? Okay. That's good.
I think so. I don't remember.
That's right.
And then last episode in the season is called There's No Place Like Plurtsgarb. Plurtsgarb? Sure.
Yeah.
Came out May 22nd, 2001. Wesley and Gunn storm the Pylian Castle while Angel fights the Gruselug.
Gruselug.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. So chat gave me a lovely rating table when I asked for the ratings. Overall, for highest overall rated episode was Reunion. This is episode 10. It was top rated at a 9.1. This is where Angel races to stop Darla and Drusilla as they go on a brutal killing spree in Los Angeles. When he ultimately chooses not to save a room full of lawyers from the carnage, it marks a chilling turning point in his moral path. I remember that episode, and I remember just being like, aw, crud, what just happened? Buffy would not be happy with you.
I loved it.
It was good, because those lawyers needed to die.
Mm-hmm. It was great.
But that
was,
you know.
That was a cathartic moment for sure. Watching it was like, this is too satisfying, and I don't know how what that says about me, but
yeah, but that probably is everybody in America who is not honestly a lawyer.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Or that type of lawyer. There are lawyers that are good because I work with some.
Well, not even just lawyers, just in general, like people in general who have power and get away with doing terrible things, and just seeing people in a position where you're like, you could help them, but they don't really deserve to be helped. So you can just, I don't seem to care, close the door, walk away dramatically,
walk away
in slow motion.
Iconic.
Yeah. Second highest episode was Reprise. It's episode 15. It's a fan and critic favorite. It was rated 8.6 out of 10. Angel infiltrates Wolfram and Hart during a major demonic review to confront their senior partner, only to discover evil is a self-sustaining cycle that exists everywhere. Devastated by the futility of his mission, he spirals into despair. Yeah. He does a lot of spiraling.
He does that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I forgot to double check this one. Third highest, they say, is Epiphany. It was widely apparently celebrated. It's episode 16, it's the very next one. It doesn't give me an exact rating. I forgot to go look at it. Hold on. I'm in it. I'm just not in it. Episodes. Ugh. I feel like IMDb has gotten very cluttered and what they put on the homepage. Okay, episode 16 is rated 8.5. So not 8.6. Don't know why it gave me 8.6. After hitting rock bottom, Angel has a personal revelation that helping others still matters, even if evil can't be defeated entirely. He reunites with his friends and recommits to his path of redemption. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lowest is episode 12, Blood Money, 7.2. Still pretty highly ranked for being the lowest. Angel uncovers Wolfram and Hart charity scam that exploits homeless teens. The episode highlights his growing ruthlessness as he takes aggressive action against the firm, pushing further away from his team. So it's, I mean, like, you got the reunion. He finally let them do what they wanted. Mm-hmm. He then gets more ruthless, and then finally drops and has to come back up. So he's on a roller coaster this season. Mm-hmm. They're a big roller coaster.
Just a bit.
Themes from this season, redemption, identity, isolation, power, and the consequences of obsession are central themes. Also, him wrestling with the darker aspects of himself throughout the season. We don't get Angelus yet, but I feel like they're kind of almost alluding to potential Angelus soon with just like the fall and issues, or is it just me?
I think yes and no. I think that's what stands out about this one, because he has a soul, yet he's still choosing to go dark. So it's different, because Angelus just took so much pleasure in being evil. And I feel like Angel didn't really enjoy this. He just kind of did it because he just lost himself. You know, he has a soul, but he's lost himself.
Well, he's technically wrestling with what all of us wrestle with. Yeah. None of us are purely good or purely evil, like Angelus or Buffy, if you want to do that sort of comparison.
Yeah.
But we all have a choice. Right. And starting to see he has a choice.
Yeah. Angel's seeing the darkest side of his humanity, not just his demon.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
It's a good way to put it.
Yeah. I love the scene after when he's in the warehouse and he lights the thing on fire and tries to kill Darla and Drusilla, like tries to burn them. And Darla sums it up perfectly. She's like, that's not Angelus and that's not Angel. Who was that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Interesting. I don't know. It's a middle character. It's Ange.
Ange. What's up, Ange? How's it going, Ange?
We got Angel, Ange.
How you doing?
All right.
Don't want to get on Ange's bad side, though.
No. Some key points events that happen in this season. Darla's resurrection and arc. So they resurrect Darla, which I remember first watching this. I'm like, no, why is she back? No, go away, go. I didn't like her. And former lover. But she is a human now. She's not a vampire yet. They turn her, correct?
During this season, right?
Because Drusilla turns her.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They think Angel's going to do it, and he doesn't. So Wolfram and Hart is like, all right.
He's not Angelus. He would have to be Angelus to turn her.
Well, they were like, oh, he's going to, like, save her because she's so pathetic and dying. And
he helped kill her the first time.
Listen, Wolfram and Hart doesn't always think things through.
They really don't. So she struggles with her humanity and eventually is returned by Drusilla. And then Angel becomes obsessed with stopping them, which begins the change of his behavior. And then you got his isolation where he's becoming dark and distant, which we've already talked about. But and then he also fires Cordelia Wesley and Gunn. I remember that happening and I was like, what?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Dum-dum. So they continued to fight Wolfram and Hart alone, which I found interesting parallels. Like, even though if you look at Buffy was dead, so they had to continue to fight on their own. But it's, like, an interesting parallel that the Scooby gang, no matter which series you're looking at, they're always going to continue to fight, even if their person is not there.
Mm-hmm.
Their leader the is not there. Mm-hmm. And then this also marks a major turning point in his character, highlighting the dangers of obsession. So that's his isolation. Third point was the team without Angel. They continue to run Angel investigations, and they developed stronger bonds and gained confidence in working independently, which is great. You got a couple new characters. Lorne is introduced, a karaoke singing empathy demon. And then Fred is introduced later in the season, which I love Fred, when they go to Pylea. I think I'm saying that wrong, but I don't care.
Pylea.
Okay. Pylea arc is some of the final episodes. Cordelia is actually transported to this demon dimension. Of course she is. The team follows to rescue her and ends up liberating the enslaved human population. They meet Fred, a physicist who was trapped in Pylea for 5 years. And Wolfram and Hart's growing threat, continue to manipulate events from the shadows, escalating their conflict with Angel. And then Holland Manners, plays a key role before being killed by Darla and Drusilla. Mm-hmm. Love it. There are some direct crossovers between Angel season 2 and, Buffy. The episode Darla, which is episode 7, includes flashbacks that are mirrored in Buffy season 5, Fool for Love. Both episodes aired back to back and share scenes showing Angel, Spike, Darla, and Drusilla in their vampiric past. And these two episodes provide parallel storytelling from each show's perspective. And then you got Faith's arc in the very first episode, Judgment. Angel mentions Faith is still in prison after the events of season 4. Though Faith does not appear in season 2, her storyline is referenced and her arc is picked up in season 4. Did they get that right?
Isn't it 5? No, it must be 4.
Okay.
No, it must be 4.
Okay.
No, it would have been 4 because that would have been the last season of Buffy.
Yeah, Buffy. That's what I had to do, too. Yes. I was like, how long is Buffy on?
Yeah. Yes. Willow referenced in Disharmony, which is episode 17. Cordelia tries to get in touch with Willow to find out if Harmony is still evil, referencing her friendship with Willow from Buffy. Yes, Harmony is still evil. Harmony is always evil. And then there are some what they called indirect connections. Buffy and Angel's relationship after their painful reunion in season 5's Forever. Buffy's season 5 Forever. Buffy and Angel share a moment with comfort following Joyce's death. Angel briefly mentions this meeting in Disharmony. However, the actual meeting occurs off screen in Angel. Spike and Drusilla flashbacks. They share history explored in flashbacks with Darla and Drusilla. So just some indirect connections. And then it did give me some behind the scenes. I did not have time to vet these. So we might have to vet them together if it sounds fishy. Some production and design. The Pylea set used in episodes like Over the Rainbow and the finale was actually repurposed movie ranch town built for a Boxer Rebellion film. The production team added timbers, thatching, medieval stalls, animals like goats, pigs, yaks, and even chariots to create the ultimate or ultimate. I'm so glad I'm not hosting both episodes. Alternate dimension look. The portal scene was filmed outside Paramount Pictures itself. And the Hyperion Hotel press suite, which is Angel's apartment, was the same physical set used multiple times by changing wall panels and decor. It was also Cordelia's apartment, Fred's room, Jasmine's lair, and various Connor-related scenes. So, changing a lot. Some writing and music. David Greenwalt who is the co-creator and showrunner for season two, wrote three original songs used in the series, including in Dead End and Sleep Tight, and even composed the fictional opening theme for Cordelia's sitcom-themed episode, Birthday. Let's see here. Andy Hallett, who plays Lorne, was originally discovered singing and wasn't made a series regular until later. His vocal abilities were a major factor in both his casting and character development. And then Amy Acker, who played Fred, wore her own glasses on the show and actually has a Texan background, much like her character. A fun little parallel. Let's see here. Doyle was originally not intended to be Irish. Didn't he die? Why are we bringing him up?
Yeah, he's not in this season.
I think they confuse... Well, I mean, from season one, Doyle was not actually supposed to be Irish. But the character was rewritten when Glenn Quinn, who had his own accent, was cast in the role.
Yeah.
Just if anyone was wondering. Lonely Hearts was last season too, wasn't it?
Lonely Hearts...
Well, apparently they show a cameraman in widescreen version.
That might be the one Robbie and I saw the camera people. We saw the camera people in the episode.
It was that episode.
But yeah, I don't think that's this season.
Hold on. Oh, and then apparently another episode, don't know what season, they accidentally showed Angel's reflection during a fight scene when he's not supposed to be reflected.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think that's this. No.
It's episode one, so I can't remember if it's the season or next season.
Maybe it's season three. When did they go to the gym? I think that might be season three.
I don't remember.
They're all blending together now. I'm having trouble.
Yes. Let's see here. This is from the fans' Reddit highlights. So again, take these with a grain of salt. Drusilla's appearance in Dear Boy was her first since Buffy season two. One fan notes, yes, Drusilla's appearance in Dear Boy was the first since season two. I count it as a crossover since she started on Buffy. The show was regularly praised for how strong season two was. Fans often highlight the Pylea arc, Darla episodes, and the rise of Lorne, an awesome season overall. If you want to love Angel as a character, just watch this season. Darla and Angel's storyline. Cast apparently reunited. Or no. Yeah, in a reunion shoot, Charisma jokingly recalled accidentally kicking David in the cojones while performing a prophetic vision scene. During the shoot, Alexis was teased as looking like a rogue demon hunter. And that is it.
Okay.
Yeah, good.
So only a couple mistakes, chat. Mm-hmm. It's not bad.
Yeah. On the whole, I think they got that pretty accurate. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, overall. Yeah, overall, a little confused on some of it, but yeah.
Yeah, like the wrong actor. What the heck?
That killed me, though. I was like, hold on. What?
Yeah, ChatGPT's kind of hitting the bottle a little bit, apparently.
Yeah.
Apparently.
He's confused.
We're going to have an intervention. We're going to have to talk with it.
It's okay. I was using, Google AI to look up some of this stuff. And when I put in season three, it was like season three begins when Angel returns from another dimension, but they don't explain how he got back. And I was just like, what even were you referencing for this? Yeah. So I don't know if they were like going all the way back to like Buffy when he just magically came back from the hell dimension. Buffy. But I was highly amused by that. I was just like, I don't think so. Google.
I think you have a problem.
Yeah. So it's not just ChatGPT, you know. All of them have problems. Oh boy. Let me go back to my episode list. I'm trying not to get this mixed up with season about? Three. Let me see. I know. I'm sorry. I'm trying to look at the episodes because I just finished season three last night, and then I'm trying
now
to
you're blurred.
I'm trying to get myself oriented to what I. Oh, it's what for the episodes. Okay. Well, I guess we can start with Disharmony. So I know Ashley, you're not a big fan of Harmony, but nope. I still highly enjoyed her coming back this time, and then Cordelia thinking she's gay and not understanding she's a vampire. That was great. It was very funny. I highly enjoyed that. And Harmony is the most annoying person, or vampire, I guess, ever.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, yes.
Everybody was so annoyed. Yes, everybody but
even vampires Cordelia. Are annoyed by her.
Everybody wanted her gone.
Honestly, oh. I don't understand why Spike didn't take a stake and throw it, like, shove it through her heart.
To be fair, he did one time, but she had that ring on.
I know, but he should have done it again.
Oh, it's
like, take the ring off and then do it.
Mm-hmm. Willow tried to warn Cordelia. She's just like, you can't really trust her. She's not good.
Why didn't she just outright and say it?
That she's a vampire?
Yes.
Or Willow? Oh.
Willow. Why didn't Willow just outright say she's a vampire? Don't trust her.
Well, she did. When she's first talking to Cordelia, she's just like, oh my goodness. Harmony is there, and then Cordelia's like, yeah, and she's like, almost jumped me last night, and you know, Willow's just like, oh my goodness, thinking she almost died, right?
Uh-huh.
And then they're coming around to it, and then Willow literally says, let's be clear here, you are aware that Harmony is a vampire, right? And then she was like, oh, I thought she was just a big old lesbo, and then it's clear that Willow is like, exactly, Willow's just like, so by the way, I am, and Cordelia's like, oh, good for you. It's very funny. I just enjoyed that entire little bit with them. It was hilarious.
I see where ChatGPT got the actors mixed up. Vincent is Connor.
Yeah, I knew that.
I did not. I didn't know what the actor's name was.
I knew the name did belong to Angel, but not to that person. Yeah, just saying.
Wrong Interesting. One.
Yeah. So I guess we can talk about like Lindsay's arc. What'd y'all think about that? Him working with Angel, then not working with Angel, then leaving, all that.
I mean, I low-key loved Lindsay when I first watched this season. Mostly because it's Christian Kane. But I don't remember how his arc ends. I'm going to be honest. I should have looked it up.
He just leaves town.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just packs it up and he goes.
That's right. He lost his hand.
He lost his hand. But there's also, there's a lot more to him. In season one, I know he's pretty detestable. He's pretty one-dimensional. Like, mm-hmm. He's kind of the lapdog for Wolfram and Hart. He loses his hand and then he starts to question, you know.
Yeah.
The good thing, you know, whether Wolfram and Hart really had his back or not. And then he doesn't trust them, but he also doesn't. He doesn't really like Angel either. So he's kind of just becomes his own thing. And I appreciate that. I think that's interesting to see.
What's the word for that? Anti-hero? No.
I wouldn't even call
There's an archetype for that. I just don't remember what it's called.
Yeah. I wouldn't really call him an anti-hero necessarily.
No, yeah. I was trying to think of what it is, and it's not anti-hero. Anti-hero is like, honestly, Angel. Mm. No. Spike?
Spike.
Yes. Spike.
Spike. Yeah. Sorry. Brain jumbled.
Yeah.
I keep thinking Deadpool every time I think anti-hero because he's like the biggest anti-hero.
He's definitely anti-hero. The
ultimate. But he comes back. Like, I was just looking to see. I forgot what season he left. Because, like I said, I didn't really rewatch any of this. But he comes back in season 5.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Is that good or bad?
Is it 5? He does come back. That's
what it says.
Okay. Well, he'd be 5. Okay. Well, then, yeah, that must be right. I thought you were still using ChatGPT.
I'm so excited. I'm like, well. No. I'm looking at IMDb. He comes back.
He'll come back. It's very brief, but yeah, he'll be back.
It's like 5 episodes, I think, is what it just told me. Hold on. Where'd he go? Lindsay McDonald. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, wait. 1, 2, 3. He's only in 4, but he briefly is in Destiny and Soul Purpose, but he's uncredited. So I don't know how that works.
Maybe they used a flashback.
Maybe.
I don't know.
He's in 4. He's in the last one. Don't tell me what happens. I got to watch him. I actually have to watch these seasons.
I really want to make up like a horrible thing that happens.
No! Don't tell me he died. I would be very sad.
Angel chops his head off with Spike's help.
Spike's a ghost.
Yeah.
Does Spike
I don't want to say anymore about this season. I don't want to say anymore about this season. We'll let you figure it out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you gotta get through four.
Oh, God.
It's a tough one, but five is so good, though. Mm-hmm. Five is so good.
Can I just skip to five?
No.
Why not?
You must suffer through the four.
Yeah.
Why?
Because you have
a requirement.
Because you have to earn redemption. That's the whole point
exactly.
of Angel.
You don't.
You have to suffer in order to atone. You have to suffer in order to atone, in order to redeem yourself.
Thank you. Yes.
Have a nice suffering.
It's very Catholic. It's a very Catholic show.
No.
It's a very Catholic show.
That's very funny. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious because the next show he goes to, which is Bones, he's a Catholic.
Well, there you go.
So it fits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of interesting. I don't know.
Actually, when did Bones start?
Yeah, I forget what season, but I know there's a scene where Angel actually goes into a Catholic church and like has a conversation with a nun because he needs her help or something, and she's like, "I know what you are. Why are you here?"
Well, because apparently being smited in a church as a vampire is not real.
Yeah, I can't remember. Is that this season? See, they're blending together.
What season does Angel? I'm not using chat because apparently I reached my free limit.
That's me with that. I'm just like, I'm not paying, so okay.
You don't have to pay. Yeah, you just sign up.
No, it's even when you're signed up, you're in a free version, and you only have so many responses, and then it resets after so many hours.
Oh, really?
So yeah. I won't be able to like do any more until one. But I looked. I'm like, well, I was just curious. I'm like, what's the plans like for this? Like $5 a month? Oh, no. It's $20 a month, $20. And that's not even the like – pro, the highest level AI chat GPT as personal, not even business use, personal use is $200 a month if you want everything.
Oh,
I'm
screw
like,
that.
Why?
I'm not paying for it.
No, I will do my own research after I've used up my free.
No, thank you.
What season does Angel go?
I signed up for the free one, but that was just because I wanted it to tell me about my dreams.
It does dream interpretation?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure it does a lot of things.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. See, I mean, do you remember in high school, so off topic, in high school, Aubrey carrying around the dream interpretation book and during lunch we would try to interpret our dreams?
Yes.
I still do it every once in a while when I'm like, what the heck just happened?
When something weird happens, I'm just like, can you explain this? Is this a bad sign? I need to know.
Seriously, apparently it doesn't say which season. Apparently he's... Oh.
I really can't. Is it?
Four. It's four.
Oh, we haven't even gotten there yet?
Nope. Okay. We have not.
I can see it in my brain, so I assumed it was...
Apparently four.
Already happened, but obviously not. Okay. So I guess we'll wait until that shot shows up. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Remind me what happens to Drusilla and Darla at the end of this season.
Well, Drew dips out after Angel sets him on fire.
Doesn't she go back?
Drew is like, forget this.
Buffy for a little bit.
Yes. Yeah, because okay. She goes to Spike.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, where are we? Yeah, because seasons.
She goes to Spike, and then you know Spike's all obsessed with Buffy, and I think that's when he's like, "Oh, I'll kill Drew for you." I think it's that
episode. Oh, that season. Okay.
I think.
And then what happens to? Well, Darla's still around because she still has to get pregnant.
Yeah, Darla is on a mission to ruin Angel's soul life.
I don't remember how that occurs. Like, I know how it occurs, but...
You want me to explain it to you, Ashley? So no, when a man like, and a woman...
Shut up! in my head, I don't remember the circumstances that leads to them getting pregnant.
Oh, so, sure. So, Angel's all mad.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. That's Angel reaches rock bottom, basically, right? That's where... Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
this season.
That's
this season.
It was this...
Yeah.
Okay.
That's his redemption arc.
Yeah, so he's all mad, and then he boinks Darla. Because he's just ticked off, and he says to her, like, he just wants to feel something, I think is generally how he words it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so they do it, and then she's convinced that she's gonna turn him for his, you know, one moment of true happiness. Mm-hmm. And they make you think it at the end of the episode. But then he's just like, oh, yeah, thanks for helping me out now. I see everything more clearly.
So yeah, it wasn't perfect happiness. It was perfect despair.
Well, no, because he doesn't know. Like, she does not make him happy.
She was very offended. She was just like, it's. I really enjoyed that little bit with Darla, though, because she's like, first of all, I'm way older than Buffy. That's ridiculous. Secondly, we were together for so long. Thirdly, I used to do this as a profession. And she's literally like, let's go do it again, because I don't buy this.
It's he had a happy ending in the act does not mean he's actually like emotionally happy. Like, you,
I know.
Your relationship was when he was angelus, not Angel. There's a difference here, woman.
Yes, Robbie and I were talking about that. Everybody is just like, oh, Angel can't have sex with anybody because of that. And I'm like, no.
Can't be with Angel can't have sex with someone he's in love with.
Right. Nah. Yes. Yes. He can't. Yeah. Gosh, he can do whatever he wants.
But. He's not a eunuch.
Okay.
He has to explain that many times this season, if I recall. Oh.
Especially,
he's not a eunuch because of the Buffy episode.
Yeah.
Oh, but that's the rumor about that Angel with the soul. Everybody thinks that about him.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's funny they even touch on something when he goes to see somebody who's supposed to give him spiritual advice, but it ends up getting killed by some other guy who's impersonating him.
Right.
But he stays with him anyway, thinking it's just some guy who's like being the sort of mentor. He's like, okay, here's what you do. Okay. You're in love with this blonde girl, right? And she screwed you over, whatever. Here's what you do. You find another skinny blonde, you bet her, you love her, you treat her like garbage, and then you move on. And he's like, yeah, about that.
That's great. Oh, goodness gracious. Something I just like, I can't believe I'm bringing this into this conversation. So, Samantha, do you remember when Breaking Dawn came out?
Well,
and we were so annoyed with the fact that a vampire was able to impregnate a person.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What the hell?
I mean, this is part of, I believe,
this is the problem. This gave Stephanie the permission. But this came before. I just checked.
That's okay. That's fair. She probably did get it from this. Let's be honest, because she stole a lot of her ideas from other works
everywhere.
And I don't want to say inspired. Like, I literally want to say stole, because she's not a great writer. But yeah. But I mean, this was part, I think, of the large plan, right? Wolfram and Hart's behind parts of this, you know. So this had like a purpose, but
yeah, it's not just atypical vampire magic. It's like there's bigger forces kind of, you know,
because they were orchestrating
it, kind of ordaining it. Yeah, that too.
Was there magic behind this? Because I don't remember. Again, how does a vampire who's dead still have, I'm just going to say, because we're not talking kiddish here, have a sperm count to make a other dead vampire who has probably no eggs whatsoever pregnant? When you die, they die.
That's the question.
There's no blood pumping through you.
Yeah, but how do they bleed, though? Because you have to, in order to, for a desire another vampire, he had to drink from the blood of another vampire. So they obviously have blood, some version.
It's not flowing, it's just sitting there. They don't have a heartbeat, so it has to just sit there. Can't be flowing.
Well, then
the mechanics are not mechanicking.
It's not, because knowing
that's just the way God made them.
You need to be able to do it.
Really, Dan?
There has to be blood flow. You know what? Dan wins, because this doesn't make any sense.
I'm using my mom's trump card at the end of the day. That's whenever I would have questions, that's what it would come down to. That's just the way God made them.
It's not the entity that I would use in that sentence, but okay.
Whoever. I don't know.
Mechanics are not mechanicking. Like, there had to be a spell, like a whole ritual to make her eggs alive and his sperm alive for this to happen.
That's what I'm saying. There's something going on, but it's never really
shown,
explained.
But then that opens up for crappiness, like Breaking Dawn, because you don't explain. Sparkly vampires and dust. Werewolves that aren't actually werewolves.
The Breaking Dawn thing. I remember.
They glammed out.
Oh my gosh. We were, I mean, we were still in the series at that point, but I remember I was like, this is stupid. Like,
yes.
Beyond stupid.
The first book, I remember the first book I really enjoyed, except for the fact that he was a sparkly vampire. Because Belle in the book was amazing. Bella in the book was amazing. You movie Bella. Then you get to book two, and I threw it at the wall because I was pissed. Wow. And then book three, it's like, you're not actually werewolves. What the hell is this crap? And then we have a born, but it just like, it just, you should have done a standalone. If she did a standalone on Twilight and ended it there, she would have been great.
Much better.
Ugh. Yeah. You know, she also published Midnight Sun. Do you remember Midnight Sun?
Yeah, that was like a whole thing.
Yeah, it's actually like you can buy it at my bookstore that I work at.
Oh, really?
It's an actual published thing. I'm like,
good to know. Something I'll never buy.
Why? What is that? I've never heard of that.
Midnight Sun is Twilight, like the first book in Edward's perspective. So you actually like are in Edward's mind instead of Bella's mind, which honestly was better because it was darker. But it's...
No good? Like, yeah. I don't know.
I mean, the story... I didn't read all of it. I only read what was leaked. She leaked like five or six chapters. And it was good. The first five or six chapters was good to be in his brain, but it was very like... Honestly, it was almost like being an angel's brain. Very brooding, very like torturous against themselves because he's a vampire. These vampires have souls. They like soul. They pretty much tell themselves they have souls because they won't eat people.
But is there any kind of like logic behind why they're like that, or is it just it needs to be sympathetic?
They just decided they don't want to eat people and they want to be good and that they want to just eat the blood, like either bags of blood or like animals. They hunt animals and eat their blood. It's not actually like it's not real vampires. Real vampires are born to be evil. So she made up her own.
Next time I see a vampire, I'll ask him kind of which one is more accurate.
Yeah, I would love to know from a real vampire. Mm-hmm. So let us know if you meet one.
I will let you know.
Good to know. If you look at all vampire lore, you have a stack, and then you have Myers.
You know, I mean, maybe it's just all, it's a community of vampires. I mean, they all got their different tiers and they're all different. Like, I mean, all humans are different, right? We all have different genetics and different things that we're good at and bad at, you know, maybe it's the same for vampires. Like some vampires sparkle.
But they're still the core of how we're made.
Yeah, we eat, we sleep, we poop, and we have sex.
Okay. Good song.
All right, let's move on. No, I just have nothing to say. I have no.
Well, there's other variations of that. Yeah. So it's like, you know, vampires, they drink blood and they do
it. Why are you trying to defend sparkly vampires?
Because I'm a contrarian, okay? Hey, don't you know this about me?
Yes,
you've known me for almost 20 years. If there's a general consensus, I have to be that person.
Oh, gosh, it has been almost 20 years, hasn't it?
Has it not?
Next year?
Yeah.
Didn't we just have our 20th year?
Ashley, there are children present in this podcast.
I'm sorry. My bad.
Jeez Louise.
We've said it before. I don't know why we're shocked.
We are a parental... You know, I'm sorry, Ashley.
I just checked the little box. She's a heathen. It's fine.
She's a heathen. We're going to hold a vigil.
Ashley off the show.
You know what this is reminding me of? This is reminding me of you guys' reaction the first time I cussed in high school. This is your reaction.
I mean, it was shocking. We were bad influences, but I mean, it was shocking. Yeah.
Wait, so that means Sammy and I are on, like, year what?
How old are we?
I don't know. So 2026 minus 1999. We're almost... So we're at 26 years this fall.
Yeah, I was just doing the math, and I was just like, it's closer to 30 than it is. Oh, boy. Okay.
Wow.
I'm going to go die in a hole now. You guys wrap this up, and I'll be crying in a hole.
I'm just going to go buy my tombstone, as I said. Just get ready.
We cannot have tombstones yet, because our plan is our husbands will go first, and you and I will be at Disney together on rocking chairs.
I can buy my tombstone. That's so and then just mean. Wait
why
for
do you
the
have
inevitable.
To wait? Why do the men have to die for you in order to do that? Why can't you just do that?
That is the plan.
Because we can't live together when we still have the husbands.
Because this is what God decided, Dan.
Why don't
God
you?
Has
usually,
made the decision.
Usually men go first. So if the men go first, if I didn't say they're going to, I just if they go first, then we're gonna have our rocking chairs together on a porch at Disney.
Why not just get a house together?
We've seen houses on Facebook where there's like two houses and then like a
we've looked
thing. Yeah. And we've looked. It's just getting
I'm
to
just
the
saying,
same state.
Just getting to the same state. Fine, work out the logistics. I'm just saying, rocking chair, dead men. Like maybe they want a rocking chair. Maybe the men want a rocking chair of their own. Do you ever think of that? No, you only think about yourself.
Yeah. Have you ever seen the memes of the best friends in rocking chairs?
No.
That's what I'm referring to.
I haven't.
You've never seen. Oh, good gracious.
Well, fine. That's why you don't understand.
Maybe I want a rocking chair. I want a rocking chair. Can I have a rocking chair?
You be gone.
I mean, yeah, she didn't list you as dead.
Okay.
Well, I said the husbands. You ain't a husband.
So am I not a man? Is that it?
Oh, goodness. Here we go.
Are you here one of us? Did one of us marry you and we didn't know it? Like,
you said,
did we have a ceremony without knowing?
Did
you change your gender recently?
I'm just,
do you identify as something else?
No, I'm just married to life.
Okay.
But you are not our husbands.
I'm just in love with life.
Okay, I'll get specific. Our husbands.
Okay.
As in me and Sammy's.
Okay. Okay.
You're being devil's advocate and I want to throw something at you, but
it makes for good content, though.
It does.
It makes for a headache
today.
I need to finish my coffee. Anything else about season two? Or can we wrap up?
I mean, I think at the end of the day, this was a really good season. I will say during Angel's Dark episodes, I kind of found myself zoning out quite a bit. Just because it was like, I don't know. I'll take it back. I enjoyed it this time around. I remember watching it before. And when Angel's doing his just sort of like brooding Sigma male internal monologue, when, you know, he's separated himself from his community, he's separated from the group, and he's just like, I don't know, he's got this weird sort of like he sees himself as a warrior kind of thing, but he's actually just kind of an idiot, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I found that very like, I don't know, Reddit edgelord bro, kind of.
That's fair.
They don't understand. Yeah. I have to do what I have to do.
That is how he is.
I'm going to train. And not yet. But soon. Soon.
Yeah, that is kind of how he was.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah. But he had a good R. He had a good, like, I like when he brought himself back to the group, how he did it. And he did it the right way. He humbled himself. Mm-hmm. He said, you know, I don't want you to come work for me. I want to go work for you. Like, I'm going to have to earn your trust again, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's.
Yeah, that was a good.
Yeah.
Good way to come back.
Yeah. But it's a good ongoing theme of the show of just, you know, earning, you know, working to redeem yourself. And we have to bring up the Dance of Joy. We have to bring up Numfar at some point.
Yeah. I was going to say, we haven't talked about
Pylia yet.
Go for it. Yes.
Go for it.
Mm-hmm.
No, you guys go first. Do you have you?
I mean, I just liked the whole Pylia arc. I thought it was fun. So, yeah. That's about all I have to say.
I don't remember the Dance of Joy, so please remind me.
In the background, you don't remember.
Do we
that.
Know? Okay. Do we know who Numfar is played by?
Yes.
No.
Well, I remember. You told us. I remember.
I did.
Okay, so there.
No.
Okay, so in the Pylia arc, this is like Angel deep dive fan, well, not deep dive, but Angel typical fan lore. When they first enter and they see one of Lorne's, was it his cousin or his aunt or something?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know, mm-hmm. they're getting reacquainted with the family or whatever, and she said, or they say something about like, your cousin Numfar has been doing the Dance of Joy for 3 days. Numfar, do the Dance of Joy, and this one demon dude in the background starts doing this weird, silly.
Yeah.
Okay, that is played by Joss Whedon himself.
Yes. So funny.
Yeah,
I love it.
Oh, and that's right. Angel could be out in their sun.
Yeah, he was very excited to be in Pylia.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Surprising left.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't
Oh,
home.
Gosh, I got the video. Or like a meme video of him doing the Dance of Joy. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember Dan telling us that. It's great.
Yeah. And people have talked to him.
I kind of forgot what Lauren looked like.
Yeah, people have talked to him during panels, and they're asking him to do the Dance of Joy. They've never actually gotten him to do it.
Really?
I doubt he ever will.
Probably not.
No, I doubt it.
Oh, goodness. But, that's hilarious.
Yeah. No.
Oh.
That, and then I liked that we saw, like, Angel's truest form in Pylea.
Ooh, the, yeah,
like,
the demon.
We saw what the actual demon looks like. Like, that is mm-hmm. what Angelus actually looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Pretty scary.
Pretty scary. Pretty scary. It's ugly, too. It's not even, like, pretty scary. It's just nasty.
No.
Because it's his version, or Joss Whedon's version of what a demon would look like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I just like the Pylea stuff, too, because I love Lauren. He's one of my favorite characters.
He's great.
I like the more Lauren, the better.
Yeah. You know? That's when I started season two, I forgot that he was the first face we saw, literally the very first face we saw. I was like, yes, Lauren, I forgot he's back. I love him.
Yes. I did the same thing. I was like, does he come back in this season? Started the episode, and I was like, there he is.
We all need a Lauren in our life. Like, who wouldn't want to go to a karaoke bar and sing your favorite song and figure out what your destiny is?
I know, right?
Yeah. And
from, like, the coolest demon ever.
Yeah,
I mean, come on.
Absolutely.
This is true.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I love one.
Yeah. And I love when, like, Wesley Gunn and Cordelia, like, when they're in that bar and they're asking them what they would sing, which is kind of a reflection of their kind of personality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Wesley, I think I'll do something by Cat Stevens. You know, Cordelia, like, oh, Madonna, or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys know that the guy who played Lauren passed away?
Oh, yeah. He passed away
in 2009. 33 years old.
Yep. It's terrible.
What happened?
I think he had, like, a heart condition or something.
Heart disease.
Yeah.
It's a rough one.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry, I was reading a quote from Charisma about him.
Yeah, that's very sad.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Well, what would either of you sing for Lauren to figure out what your destiny is?
That's a good question.
You could sing any song, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, still figures it out.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really great question. I don't know. Where's my phone? Where's my
that's
most?
That's a good point.
Music.
Yeah. Okay.
Playlist. Make sure. My faves.
What would you sing, Dan?
It's a toss-up between either Kiss the Go-Goat by Ghost or War Pigs by Black Sabbath.
I knew Black Sabbath was in there.
Yeah. It's me. Come on.
Yeah.
Either Sabbath or Ozzy's going to be in there at some point. God rest his soul.
Yeah, it's...
Do you also see... This was a bad week for Legends.
We lost Ozzy, and then we also lost
Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Theo.
Yes.
Yeah, from Small Water.
Yes. I would probably sing, just because it's in my range, and I hate being off pitch. Some of these songs I could not sing with justice. It's called Lost Boy.
It's okay.
By Ruth B. She's not a very well-known person, but it's... Oops. I found her randomly, but it's about, like, being a lost boy, like Peter Pan.
Okay.
And it's just so good.
I think I know
and it's
that
about
song.
like finding who you are.
Yeah.
Here it is.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the chorus?
I am a lost boy from Neverland.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's beautiful. Love her voice. It's beautiful. Her whole album. She plays the piano and kind of like a. She kind of reminds me of like a female John Legend.
Okay, not I can hear it,
but like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, very good. Love it. I mean, honestly, I would probably end up doing a Taylor Swift song, let's be real, because I think she's my most played artist, you know? The question is, like, what song I would want to do, though. That's the hard part, you know?
I feel like it'd have to be, depending on your mood.
True. Yeah, I do feel like, do I want to be, like, super moody? Mm-hmm. Or do I want to be, like, you know, shake it off, like, you know, dance
yeah.
on?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Do you want to be poppy? Do you want to be country? Do you want to be...
She has so many choices. That's why I'm like, I can't decide.
She's like across all the genre
lines. Yeah, so depending on which mood I'm in, but it would probably be one of her songs, because there's so many.
Honestly, there's a couple songs on her Reputation album that if they tweaked some of the music... She could almost be in that punk rock genre.
It's
like
headed
female
that way.
Punk rock. Yeah. Like it was very close. It's missing some things in the music. Like if they changed it up a little bit, she totally could have been in the punk rock genre, which would have, I don't know how I would have felt about Taylor Swift as a punk rock genre, because that's my Avril space. But.
Well, there's space for everyone, I think.
Yeah.
I know, but she went from like, It jars me when anyone jumps. Like, I don't know if it's because I'm really bad at change when it comes to that sort of stuff. It's like nothing against them. It's just like my own personal crap that I have to deal with that when they jump to different genres, when I'm already used to them in a genre, it just jars me. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to get over.
Yeah.
And I know it's a lot of it has to do with the fact that change is hard on me. Like this whole week with the new job, it's hard on me and I'm exhausted and I just want to curl up in a ball and do nothing.
See, I'm like the opposite. I just get so bored with stuff. I'm just like, yeah, bring it on.
Yeah.
Let's do something different. You know? It's probably why I can't pick a song.
I mean, there's so many things to sing. Like, we just did Rock Band. We were at Alex and Josh's last week for Brett's birthday, and we did Rock Band. And
Rock Band.
It was so much fun. Yeah. Because you get to sing in that one. So.
Oh, yeah. I know Rock Band. I used to live with a bunch of people who all they did was play Rock Band.
Yeah.
Every time, that was second year of college. Every time I come into the room, I just always hear it's all I hear. Crap!
I actually did pretty good on the drums. I was very impressed with myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't even play the real drums. I don't even know how to do a Rock Band.
Well, my brother can play the drums and he tried to play Rock Band and he sucked.
Oh,
so it doesn't always correlate.
So it doesn't matter.
It doesn't. Yeah. I mean, I'm a great guitarist and I suck at Guitar Hero. So there you go.
I sang Airplanes by B.O.B. and Haley.
From Paramore.
Atwell. Whatever her last name is. And I did the rap part. And I was I was almost 100% perfect. And Alex is like, I didn't know you could rap. I'm like, I can if I know the words. Like, I songs I can rap through and select keep up with songs. The flow.
Yeah.
Not a lot. Hamilton, I won't even try.
Dear they go Lord. So fast.
Oh my gosh, so fast.
I'm just like, I can't breathe M&M. That fast. I can't do that.
I can do some Eminem. There's certain songs where he just goes way too fast for me.
Yeah.
I tried to do Eminem. That was probably, I'll never do that again. I tried to do Venom by Eminem. Yeah, that's the tongue twister from hell. I actually did okay.
Yes, it is.
The first two verses, I actually did okay. The third one is what got me.
Some of his newer stuff, not the newest album, because the newest album, he kind of goes back and forth between himself and Slim Shady, which you have to listen to that one all the way. It's just so good. But, like, the newer stuff before the most recent album, I felt like he slowed down a little bit. I feel like him not, like, him as Marshall Mathers instead of Slim Shady is a little bit of a slower pace, which I'm like, I can do this.
It's a lot more, slower pace, but it's also a lot more, like, it's a lot more serious. There's a lot more, you know.
It's not as, like.
Yeah, Slim Shady was always kind of a joke. Years, like, he knew it was a joke. He always took it as a joke. But Marshall Mathers was like, Eminem was like him, you know.
Yeah, but Slim Shady, even though like he tried to make it sound very jokish, a lot of the topics that he did in his songs were still very serious. Like he just covered it up with humor. He like made fun of things. He made fun of issues that were happening in Hollywood as Slim Shady.
I have to go back and listen. I didn't listen to a lot of him growing up. He caught my attention. I was off and on with him growing up. And then he caught my attention in 2009-ish when he came out with the song Beautiful. Because that's kind of what I was going through at the time. So that really resonated with me. So I was like, oh, wow, I didn't know Eminem was this deep. It's like, where have I been? You know?
Yeah. What class was it? I had a class with DeBoard, female DeBoard, not male DeBoard. Dan understands that statement.
I do.
and it was it was an interp class, and I can't remember what the full name was, but it was language interpretation class. And she let me, like, we were supposed to put a piece together from like a bunch of different mediums and like present it linguistically to the class, and she actually let me do like a compilation of Eminem stuff. And this is a Christian college. She let me cuss in class and everything. Was like, thank you, Mr. Board.
The horror.
Well, a lot of those professors were very like,
no, they were they absolutely were.
The DeBoards not so much.
No, the DeBoards
are realistic. I loved them. And
Kirk.
I still do.
Kirk was more like that as well.
Yeah, Kirk was like that.
I miss Kirk.
But if Miss Professor Cotton was in that class while I was doing it, I probably would have gotten in so much trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But we are super off topic now that we started singing.
Yeah, listen, it's like, who are these people? Kirk, the board. I don't know these people. I don't care about it.
Yeah. That's why I said only Dan understands that statement. Unless your listener's from Southeastern and were there during our time, then you might know who we're talking about. anything else about season two before we kind of wrap this up?
Yeah, I think I've about covered what I want to say.
No, I'm good.
Yeah. All right. Beautiful. Well, Pixie Dusters, I hope you enjoyed season two, Angel. We are going into season three next week, and I finally get a break, and Sammy will be taking over. So we will see y'all real soon.
Yes. Bye. Thanks for listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dan. The show is written and produced by Ashley and Sammy, except for those manifestos, which are all written by Dan himself. Intro and audio editing by Sammy. Logo created by Ashley. The show is produced as part of the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Make sure you check out all of our other shows and have a magical day.